Did you get my email?
What?
Did you get my email? I sent it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then what she can see. Okay, Mazel Tov to Sammy. Welcome back. What's the name of the boy? Eliezer.
Simcha.
Eliezer Simcha. Zocho for the Gadla Torah for the Nice and Tobin.
Hey.
Okay, so we're in the middle of the topic of Sheker in Dini Mamonos. And we've discovered on our journey so far that for Sholem purposes you can speak Sheker to protect Sholem. For the past at least, of past stories, for the future it seems to be not clear whether one's allowed to do such a thing. Can I borrow money? And you don't want to give him money, he said it's not clear whether you can say, well, I don't want to give you money, I haven't got money, yeah, to prevent a machlokas. If you're dealing with a Ramai, like Lovin, then you're allowed to deal back with him Ramos, which is what Yaakov said to Rachel, and therefore protect yourself with Sheker to be taken advantage. However, when you're dealing in Beis Din, we said, in Beis Din there can never be Sheker, even to protect yourself from a mind. So now we have a question like this. We started last week, and the question like this is like this. A Shaila arises, that Reuven goes to an electrical shop and buys a washing machine. And comes in with a tuta achrayut, saying you got achrayas for 3 years, that's it. Reuven and Shimon buy the same machine from the same shop around about the same time. Within a year, Reuven's machine breaks down. It's under guarantee, warranty, it's under warranty. So now he looks for his tuta and can't find it. He's lost it. He phones up and they say, well, we need your tuda, otherwise we're not giving guarantees. Well, we need your number at least of the tuda. He hasn't got it. So what's he going to do? So Reuven comes up with idea. Yeah. His neighbor, friend, Shimon, bought the machine at the same place, around about the same time. And he asked Shimon, do you happen to have also the guarantee around? And he says, yes, I have the guarantee paper. So Reuven now comes up with a bright idea. I've got a machine. Reuven's got a machine. We both have warranties, and we're both, and I'm still due to get a guarantee still, because it's still within the warranty time of 3 years. I've lost my warranty, which prevents me getting the guarantee. But Shimon has. I want to use now Shimon's guarantee, warranty, and present that to the people and say, look, here's my washing machine, here's the warranty, it's broken, come and fix it. Is he allowed to do that, or that, do we say? It's Sheker. He can't do such a thing. He's not got the tuda, he hasn't got the warranty, and therefore he's lying by producing somebody else's warranty. So, it's something in between what we discussed up to now. To protect yourself from Ramoyim who try to trick you, you're allowed to also lie to protect yourself. In Beis Din, you're not allowed to. Now we're talking about not in Beis Din. Outside Beis Din. But you're not dealing with Ramoyim over here. They haven't tricked you or anything, the shop with them guaranteed. They've just got a policy. If you produce the paper or the number, then we'll come round and fix it. If you don't, then we don't, because it's not under warranty. So can you lie, so to speak, to protect yourself from Hefsid Mammon? You are really due to have that guarantee, because you're entitled to that, because you paid for it. It's still within the 3 years. So really, you're entitled to it, but technically you can't get it. So can you lie to protect yourself from Hefsid Mammon or not? And that's the Shaila we're going to start with this week. Okay. So, the Shulchan Aruch number one says like this. In Siman Yud Beis. Mi Shetoben Osa Mammon Shemuchzik Bo. Somebody come, Reuven wants to claim from Shimon money. It's also for Shimon to do all types of methods to get out of paying Reuven in order to make Reuven come up with a Peshorah, because Shimon is too tricky to deal with. He's such a trickster, he's maneuvering and manipulating, I can't get my hands on him. Reuven wants his money, and Shimon's doing all these tricks and to entice Reuven to make a Peshorah and cut down his claim. It's awesome to do such a thing. Says the Tumim, and the Nesivos brings it down, and the Aruch HaShulchan brings it down in the place. That's only also if really he has to pay halachically the whole thing. So it's also to do tricks and to lie in order to make his debt lower, not attitudes. But if halachically he doesn't owe him that much money, but he's got no way of proving it, and if he goes to Basin he's going to lose, but halachically he doesn't really owe it, then he can do all four sorts of tricks to encourage a Peshorah, even to lie to encourage a Peshorah.
You can lie to Basin?
No, to the Baltin. You can lie to the Baltin to encourage him to do Peshorah. Says the Tumim, one of my proofs is from the Gemara and Baba Kama. The Gemara and Baba Kama says, that somebody owns an ox and he gives that ox over to a shomer to look after. Reuben gives his ox over to Shimon to look after. And he said to him, Shimon, this ox is a bit dangerous, not so dangerous, he's only gored once. He only killed another cow once. And Shimon said, okay, I'll take it, I'll look after it. And then what happens? It does gore. And then Shimon finds out that it hasn't just gone once, really it's already killed another cow three times. Where Basin say the difference is now you have to pay the whole damage that's caused. So Shimon says, normally Shimon is achrai on any damage which that ox does because he's supposed to be looking after it. But here he says, look, I thought this cow wasn't so dangerous. It ends up being really dangerous, and therefore I don't want to pay for the damage it's done. I wouldn't have taken it on. So the halacha states that you have to split the damage. The owner has to pay half the damage, and the one shomer also has to pay half the damage. That's the halacha. Says the Gemara, why does the owner have to pay anything? The owner has a taina against the shomer. He says to the shomer, why did you give it over to Basin? You should have given it back to me, and if you'd given it back to me, then I would have made sure that Shah would got lost, and he would never be able to claim any money at all. Yeah. So therefore, why did you give him to Basin? I could have got out of pain. Says the Mefarshim, what do you mean? The owner is saying, I don't have to pay because I could have lied and tricked my way out of paying, and by just pushing it in a place where the Basin can't get hold of and say that it's disappeared. How can you do that? How can you say he doesn't have to pay because he could do something illegal? Halachically. So the Tumim says, the Pshat is, he's not doing something illegal. He's tithing. If you would have given back the ox, I would have gone to the person I damaged and said to him, that you owe me money, or your father even owes you me money, which you don't even know about. Which is true, just I've got no proof for it. Now's my chance to get back that money by making sure that the money which I do owe you is cancelled out by the debt which you owe me or your father owes me, and therefore I'm going to now push that away and cancel it out. I'm going to hide the Shah and cancel it out. So here the Tumim proves that if somebody is in fact owed money and he's got no way of proving it, he can do lies and tricks in order to prevent having to pay.
Kumin is fabricating a whole background that's not mentioned in the Gemara?
No, because he has the kasha. How could you, the Gemara actually say he's got a good tainer. He says, I don't have to pay you because I could lie. So it must be that his tainer is taka halachically acceptable. How's it halachically acceptable? Because in fact he is owed money, which he's got no way of proving, and he could say, I could lie and cheat in order to be able to get hold or maintain that money.
In that case, he's owed money.
What?
In that case, you just said he's really owed money?
Yes, that's what Tubman says. The case must be where he really owes money, just can't prove it. Otherwise, how can the Gemara say he's got a good reason?
How's the base thing going to come down in his favour
if
there's no proof in the first place?
It's not. He said, give me the cow back, and I'll just hide it, and the base will never be able to get it.
The effect. The guy's already given the cow to the base thing.
No, because he said you damaged me. You, the one who's looking after the cow, damaged me by giving over to Beis Din.
So it's only a good time because he owes you money, man. Yeah. The Beis Din owes a good time.
He doesn't. What are you asking?
So it's only a good time because he owes you money. There's no proof he owes you money. So the Beis Din owes a good time.
Fine, but he says that I don't have to pay because I tainer such a time.
I think what Eric is asking is how could the Gemara suggest that the Beis Din should not make them split it if the Beis Din has nothing to base that on? In other words, the Beis Din is not going to know that his time is real.
Great.
I think that's what...
It's a good kasha. And the Teretz stat is not a poshut Teretz. I'll tell you maybe later the Teretz stat. Yeah? It's not a poshut Teretz. But we see from the Tumim that he's coming out la halacha, that even when you haven't been tricked and you just need to protect yourself from monetary damage, you're allowed to lie to protect yourself from monetary damage as long as it's not invested. As long as it's not invested.
It's a case where somebody owes him something that he should have paid him in the first place.
Yeah, but he says it doesn't matter to him or to his children. The children don't necessarily have tricked him.
Okay. But somebody did it in the case of the washing
machine. And he's not talking about Dafka trickster. Maybe it's not clear. He feels that he's owed money. He doesn't owe money. He doesn't make conditions or restrictions that we're talking about Dafka, somebody who's coming to trick you over here.
Just
often in Basin, everyone thinks they're right. It doesn't mean one of them is a trickster. It means everyone thinks they're right according to how they understand this situation. But he's not coming to trick you.
It just has to be he feels he's owed money, or he has to be borrowed money?
No, he has to be clear that he is owed money, but he's got no proof. Okay. So we see for the Tumim that's permitted. It's just the Vilna Gaon says over here, and he argues and he says that it's also, even if it's true, you're not allowed to say lies to create a peshara, even if it's true that you don't owe money. So we have a machlokas here between the Tumim and the Vilna Gaon. Let me ask you a question from a Shutta Rashba. How can the Tumim be saying what he's saying? There is a clear Shutta Rashba who says not like him. Let's look at number two, and then you have to tell me what. How is he going to fit in with this? The Shutta Rashba was asked like this. Arkein Shol Ani. I asked you, the Rashba. In Mutza Latog Sheker Lafuki Zuzi. Is it allowed to say lies in order to get your money which you deserve? Says the Rashba, Teshuva, Chas Blei Lazara to Avon to Lema Shekra Afila Bamokan Peseda. How can we even suggest that you're permitted to say lies, even if it's to prevent a loss of money? Because it writes in the Torah, Sheirus Yisrael lo yasa avla lo yidabu kazav. You don't speak lies. Says the Rashba that even when you're there to protect money through your lies, you're not allowed to speak lies. So how can the Tumim say a hopeless shot in the Gomorrah? And say that's halacha lemaisa, and the Nesivus brings it down, and the Orach HaShulchan brings it down. We got a Shutta Rashba that says clearly that even if it's just to protect money, Seder, you're not allowed to say lies.
Tumim is
And everyone's talking outside basin.
In the case of the Gemara, he didn't actually lie. He said, I could have lied, but he didn't actually lie.
And the Tumim is saying, from there we see you're allowed to lie. Yeah? So how does that fit with the Rashba? You can't argue the Rashba. Rashba's a Rishon. All these people, the Tumim, the Sivis, Ochel Shulchan, or Achronim. Is it a famous Rashba? So I'll give you a second to think about it. The answer is blurring your face.
Well, it's not Latufe Zuzay. There it's just the Matzah for Zuzay.
Okay. Can you give a understanding to that? No, but he's Tumim saying you can say that you damaged me because I could make sure the cow disappears or light a basin that the cow's disappeared. And that's permitted because he really owes me money. He can say lies. He can say lies. But Shek is always the avla. Here he's talking about protecting himself from losing money. So you're telling me every lie, you know, every time you're protecting yourself from losing money is also avla. When is it avla? When is it not an avla? I'm going to lose, so it's not avla. Or I'm going to lose, it isn't avla. But whatever you define, it, we see clearly, according to the Rashba, if you're protecting your money, it's still awesome. So, we can answer it with another Rashba. The Gemara Suba says like this. Omar Bayer. Lichtiv chasimus yoda chaspa v'shotile beitina. You live far away, and basically want to check that you signed on a document, and they basically want to check whether that signature on the document is your signature. So what should you do? So you live far away, you should write your signature on a piece of earthenware and send it by post to Beis Din, and Beis Din will now compare the signatures. He doesn't have to come, he can just send his signature. But he should only do it on earthenware. But he shouldn't write it on a piece of paper, his signature. Why? Because Dilma Maskechle into the Mali, because maybe the postman will take it, or somebody else will take it in transport, and take that piece of paper, for possible a boy, and write a whole document in front of your signature, in order to machayev you in money. It's very dangerous. If you write your signature on a piece of paper, somebody could get a hold of it and write a whole document saying that you're chayev money. So don't write it on paper. Cheres is not a kosher document, so we can never claim with it. And he'll produce this piece of paper with your signature and a whole document which he made out and he claimed money for you. So don't write it on a piece of paper. Says the Rashba over there. Aye, what's the problem? Says the Rashba. What's the problem? Write a long piece of paper. Okay, now write a whole document on in front of it. But you still don't lose. Because when he produces it in front of Beis Din, you can simply say, I paid. Parati. He produces it in front of Beis Din, you can simply say, I paid. And you don't have to pay then.
Would that be a lie in front of Beis Din?
He's lying. You can lie and say, I paid.
In Beis Din.
In Beis Din, says the Rashba. What's the problem? Write on a piece of paper. Okay, somebody will find it and write a whole document in front of it. What's the worst come out? He'll produce it in Beis Din, say that you owe money, and you can answer, I paid. It's not no witnesses, just his signature. Signature, you can say, I paid. get paid? I cause, says the Rashba, a technical answer. Because still maton on a load of our modem. Because maybe he'll won't think of such a cup, and he'll say it never existed, it never happened. He won't say I paid. He'll say, oh, the whole thing's a lie. And therefore, as soon as he says I haven't paid, he's lost the case, and I don't owe any money. The whole thing's made up. He's lost the case. He's got a piece of document that says that it's not made up. So we see from the Rush, before we get the Kasha, just everyone's clear, that you can lie in Basin to say, Karati, I paid.
It's not lying.
Why is it not lying?
Because there was nothing that he had to pay.
So?
He's saying, I paid something that I don't have to pay.
So that's lying.
That's lying. What is he saying?
What's the truth here? He can say the truth. What's the truth? The truth is, this is a forge.
I paid what I owe. I paid the debt.
So that's not true. You didn't pay.
I paid what I owe.
There's two claims you can say. The whole thing is a forge, or you can say I paid.
What he's asking for, I paid.
No, you never did. Not true. No, what he's asking for is forge. That's what you have to say.
He's asking for nothing.
It's forge. It's not true. You can.
Then he's liable. But then he's liable if he says that.
If he says I owe him nothing, he loses the case. If he says I owe him but I paid, he wins the case. Let him lie and say I paid, says the Rashba. What's the problem? So now we've got big problems with this Rashba. He's lying in Basin, and it's not with a. He's like in Basin, and that doesn't fit in with the concept we saw last week that Basin is never allowed to lie. And it doesn't fit with the Rashba, which says before that you're never allowed to lie, even protect yourself from losing money. So how does, are they compatible over here? How is these two Rashbas compatible with each other? And how is it compatible with the Halakha, which you said last week, that says in Basin you're never allowed to lie?
The Rashba is asking that you're allowed to sign your name to a paper with nothing ahead of it.
You should be allowed to, because what's the problem? Let him produce it, and you should lie and say, I paid.
So maybe the Rashba is not saying you're allowed to lie, it's saying a person potentially, he might lie. And since a person might lie and based on this exact strategy, that's why he's allowed to sign his name. And the Rashba is only commenting on him being allowed to sign his name. He's not commenting on whether it would be okay for him to lie.
We're telling him, we're making a tekona, eight satova, we're saying. Don't sign your piece of, on a piece of paper. Don't sign it. Why? Because he may produce a document escape to you and you're stuck. That's the eight satova giving him. So the Rashba says, what's the point of eight satova? Don't give him any eight satovas. Let him sign, because he can always get out of it by saying
not that we mutter, but he could always do it.
No! If it's not mutter, then we will still give the eight satova. Don't sign on it, because we don't want you to do it, sir.
I have a question. You lend somebody money. You write a document, and the guy signs the document. He owes you money. Has he got any money?
Unless you have witnesses on the document, he can always say, I paid.
Correct. The document is without witnesses has no value.
No value unless you have witnesses on it.
Even if it says on the document that you have to pay.
It has value to prove that the event happened. But it hasn't got value that the money is still owed. Unless there is witnesses on it. Correct.
What's the reason you can't lie based on? What's the main reason why you can't lie based on?
Because you're misguiding them, because the end result is what the truth is supposed to be. So the point about lying is because we don't want the non-truth to happen here. That's how it's going on. It's not nice. It's not, you know, maybe so. The Gemara says not like you. The Gemara and Shmuel says not like you. You're not allowed to lie based in when somebody comes and says look, he owes me 200, but I haven't got any proof. I only got one witness, that's not good enough. You know what? He also owes you 200. And you also got no proof. You only got one witness. It's also no good. let's do a deal. I say he owes us me 400, and you two people now will come and testify that he owed 400. Everyone's telling the truth, so to speak, that overall he does owe 400, and they know he owes 200 to you and 200 to me. So therefore, let's do that. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do that. That's sheker. That's sheker.
The other guy has a claim.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, has a claim. Maybe it's not the whole claim that he pulls together, but he has some truth in what he's saying, right?
That's total truth.
No, part of his truth. That
totally true over there. That he owes that, and he's denying it. And you've got no proof. So you want to make a combination of events in order to get money out according to what Kapi Shema should be that he actually pays. And still the Gemara says it's awesome because it's embased in.
There's a whole system of breakdown.
The whole system.
And we had a case last week too, where he only agreed to, he only really owed him half of it, and he wasn't allowed to be kofer a kol. Same reason.
Yeah, same reason.
And that wasn't a witness.
But also in that case, the people that are lying, they brought the case to Beis Din, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, this guy was brought into Beis Din, right?
So we had also another case from last week, which you just said that 200. You owe me 200. Really, he doesn't. He only owes 100. So I want
but
to.
But that's a valid claim. But that's somewhat of a claim. There's a
no. He only owes 100.
No, well, you should be there anyway. You could be there anyway, just based on that. This guy's been bought there for nothing, zero. His claim is completely is nothing. No,
but he's making an invalid claim of 200.
Okay, but that's basically four. Basin is there to get to the bottom of the truth. With two legitimate, let's say, claims, somewhat legitimate claims. And someone's come up with a completely ridiculous claim out of, you know, completely baseless, and you drag me in there, so I'm not going to base it. I'm basically telling you that this guy is completely, you know, like there's nothing, I shouldn't even be here. If I'm bringing him, of course I can't lie. I'm not going to go a lot of time bring him there, because I'm bringing him to base.
No, if the other one also brings you, you can not allowed to lie, says the Gemara over there. But Reuven says, you owe me 200, really he doesn't. He drags Shimon in to say, you owe me 200. And really he doesn't owe him 200, he really owes 100. Shimon's still not allowed to lie and say, I owe you nothing.
I know, because he does owe him something. Because he owes him 100. He can't lie and I owe you nothing. That's a lie, total lie. He starts to be there to basically, you know, have them go through the claim and come to the truth. Here, this guy was bought for nothing. Zero. There's no reason he should be saying
that. He should tell the truth. Not say I paid. He should say it's a forge. You say the truth. That's what basis
for. No, but the law ends up being that he will have to pay because of it, so that's not the basis for.
And but there also the law ends up that he'll don't have to pay, but he still owes 100 with his claim. Also, can they get this?
There's a difference between this instance and the other instances.
Okay.
This instance is a finite instance. Somebody's claiming something that doesn't exist. And the other guy's saying, I paid back, and that's the end of it. No one else is involved. No one else can come in and add another line. No one else can come in with something else. For example, with the example you gave of two people, or each old 200.
Okay,
people.
What about the example of the 200 and the 100?
Then you have in half lies and more lies, and then afterwards they can come and say something else. It's not a finite instance here. More and more can go into it. One finite thing. Someone's coming in with something. In this instance, someone's coming in with a claim, which is finite, which is totally untrue. And he's coming in with
the same type of answer. Let us see what the real answer is. I understand what you're saying, to a certain extent. So, Melachos Mesalel. We lived around 100 years ago. Itamar Chacham in Warsaw says like this. Afcha chaver osaver sheinu rotzeh l'shalem lo. Iyu osa lasas aver l'shaka bebesim. Somebody does an avera and lies to make claims against you. You are not allowed to make a lie and to lie in Beisim. Kidei sheidei sheka Beisim yotzeh l'chaver. Through Basin, you're going to lie into Basin, you're going to get money, which you deserve. You're not allowed to do it. Omnam calls their shakra de la hoitsi machavero. That only applies when you're trying to get money, which you deserve, through Basin, by lying. Avu imcha beirutz lehutz v'menu. But if your friend wants to take money away from you in Beistin, you're allowed to protect yourself. If you can't do any other, with a tainus sheker, with a lie.
The 200 verse 1, he was trying to get money from you.
So we see from here the answer to the Rashba before we come to your kasha. The answer to the Rashba, there's a difference when you're lying to get money you deserve, which you're not allowed to do, and when you're lying to protect the money which is by you, which you're allowed to do to prevent it being taken out from you.
Well, that still bring around the
and therefore the two Rashbas are matzim.
Will that still bring about the collapse of the system?
So we see from here two questions. What happens? It's based in. And in based in we've got a concept. Doesn't matter, you can't lie. Because of the a swara. If you lie in Beistin, then the whole Beistin will collapse, the concept over there. Yes? So we see from here, this Rashba, he doesn't hold to such a chilik. He doesn't hold, there's a difference between Beistin and outside Beistin. If it's osur to lie, it's always osur to lie. And if it's mutter to lie, then it's mutter to lie wherever it is. Just the Rashba is making a new chilik. He's saying, the chilek is, you're never allowed to lie to get money out of people, but you are allowed to lie in order to prevent any money going away from you. So if so, therefore we've come with a maskona like this. In Basin you can never lie because there are shitters which hold not like the Rashba. Outside the Basin, where you're allowed to lie, according to the Tumim, but you're only allowed to lie because you're restricted like the Rashba. You're only allowed to lie if you're preventing yourself from being money taken away from you, but not allowed to lie in order to get money from somebody, even outside Basin. You have to go all the chumras in this halacha. Because sheker is an issur d'oraisa. So since sheker is an issur d'oraisa, we have to go according to all the chumras. In Beistin, there are many shittas that say you're never allowed to lie. Not like the Rashba. Outside Beistin, where there are shittas which say you're allowed to lie to protect yourself, we have to worry about the Rashba, that that's only true to prevent money going out of your pocket, not to get money which you deserve.
But Yaakov was being motzi something. He wasn't just keeping what he had.
No, he wasn't being motzi.
He was taking Rachel from Lavan.
No, how was he taking Rachel from Lavan?
It was Lavan's daughter, and he was taking her away.
He was getting his wages, which he deserved.
No, this is before he ever worked.
What's
for
the
him.
Lie he did?
This is when he meets at the well. There's no wages.
And what's the lie? What's the lie he eventually did?
He says to Rachel.
What's the lie he did? What's the lie at the end of the day?
Yeah.
The lie is that he's mashalma maskorat mea pamim, and therefore I'm going to run away with the sheep. I'm going to say I'm not running away to him, and then run away.
What's talking about the sheep?
Yes.
But it was talking about marrying Rachel there.
He was
saying,
will
you marry me? And she says, he's a rabbi. He says, I'm a bigger rabbi.
Don't worry, we'll massage that, yes.
But that's nothing to do with the sheep.
Yeah, but that's what she was worried about. But the actual lie that the husband, which came about from the story of Yaakov Avinu, was the lie of, he told Lavan that he was going to be staying, and he ran away. Instead, he took Rachel and all the Leah and all the sheep. So we come out the halacha that you're never allowed to lie in Beistin, and even out of Beistin you're only allowed to lie to prevent money coming out of your pocket, but not to get money which even you deserve. So now let's come back to Ashayla. Ashayla over here is, you've lost your tut achrayut on your washing machine. You want to use your neighbors, your friends, achrayot, in order to get what you deserve. Are you allowed to produce your friends to da in order to get them to come and fix your
You don't deserve it.
So the question is that called preserving your own money from
your
pocket?
No, you do deserve it.
Or taking money out of another pocket, which you deserve, Grushaker? How do you look at this case?
You do deserve it. You do deserve it. What are you talking about?
Only if you have a tool.
Just haven't got the paper to prove it.
How do you look at this case?
You do not deserve it. You haven't got the paper to prove it.
One of the conditions of deserving is you have to have that paper to prove
you
it.
You deserve it. But
it says it right there in the conditions. You have to have this paper or we don't have to do it. What? If you look at that Achrayim. Look at it through that
Achrayim. This is a silent for Yumi. What does Yumi say?
Read it. Well, read it.
I hope that you preserve your own money.
You're preserving your own money. Why do you think you're preserving your own money?
Because he's not paying. The guy that comes to fix it is not giving you anything.
What's he doing? He's not giving you. He's giving you services.
He's got a contract with you. He's not taking money out of his pocket. He's on a payroll. He's getting paid to fix it whether he comes or not. He's paid.
So yes. It's for the company you're lying to.
He's not taking anything out of his pocket.
So who are you taking money? Who's paying him? Who's paying him?
I paid him.
Who paid him? You paid him 100 shekels.
Yeah.
No service contractors.
For your insurance, you paid 100 shekels. And so he's providing you a 2,000 shekel service here. Which the company are paying this guy 2,000 shekels for the work he's doing. You only paid 100 shekels. You're making the company pay 1,900 shekels through your sheker.
And he doesn't accept the currency, then he would take it from you, the 2,000 shekels. Then he's taking from you the 2,000 shekels.
Taking? Well, how's he taking?
No,
they have a rule. You have the tzedakah, we do it. If you don't have the tzedakah, you don't do it. We're not doing anything wrong.
You're protecting yourself against the 2,000 shekel loss for the damage to your washing machine. That's your loss. You're protecting the
company. How? That's by making
loss.
Them pay.
Right. They're paying to pay him.
Pay him. I have to normally pay him. So if I would call him, I would have to pay him 2,000 shekels. I'm making you pay him instead.
Right, we're just protecting
that is called you're taking money out of somebody's pockets, i.e. a sheker, which we say is not allowed according to the Rashba, and therefore it's not going to be permitted. Therefore, halacha is, according to the Vilogon, sheker is not allowed in any case. And according to the Tumim, which is allowed, is only allowed to protect money for going out your pocket, not to make other people to give money over. And therefore, in this case, it's also for you to produce your Tudah Achrayot of somebody else over there. And therefore, who are they? In the Shaila, somebody lost their chicken, or their chicken was off, which they bought, and was rotten. As soon as they bought it, and they're entitled to get money back for that chicken. And now they've lost the receipt. Can they go ahead and buy another chicken and use the receipts of the second chicken to prove that the first chicken they bought and it was off or not? Is that sheker or not sheker? Using the second receipt to protect yourself from loss on the first chicken, which you deserve to get money back, but you've lost the receipt for. It's sheker, but is it sheker which is mutter or sheker which is osa?
Mutter. Mutter.
Are you taking money out of somebody's pocket?
No.
Or are you protecting your pocket from a loss?
Same thing.
Well, you're taking money out of somebody's pocket.
They got a paper and a chicken.
You're asking to give me back the money.
You're taking the chicken. The chicken is money. This is a chicken. Money doesn't make any difference.
You're chicken.
Depends how did you pay with the first chicken?
So you're asking to give you something.
Give you nothing.
How did you pay with the first chicken?
What's the difference? It's chicken or money.
If you paid with cash and now you want to get your money back or a zechus, then you're taking money out of them with a sheker, then you're not allowed to do it. But if you paid with a credit card and they haven't yet received the money, then the sheker at that stage is to protect money going out of your bank account, and therefore
that doesn't make sense.
According to the logic.
Wait, goes by when you leave your bank account. You have a month and a half to lose your bank account. You have a month and a half to lose your bank account. Because it's a 1 month billing cycle, and then by the time your bank pays, so until it leaves you or until it goes to them?
No, them. Calls from, they haven't received the money.
No, I think there's a misunderstanding the way credit cards work.
You pay with a bank.
The second I swipe their credit card,
yes,
you owe the credit card company money.
Period. Does the money go straight to the shop?
It doesn't matter. Owe them money.
Does the money go straight to the shop?
They never go to the shop. You still owe them money.
Has the money been credited to the shop? Yes.
It never gets credited. You can cancel it. It gets credited to the bank account.
You can cancel it. What are you talking about?
That's something
has
else.
Has money taken
what
out? Has money been credited?
Is they send money back. They don't just stop the money from coming. It's an offsetting credit.
Okay.
You'll show both. Will show up on your statement. You'll have a debit.
It's a promise. I'm going to pay.
It's not a promise. It's not a promise.
Enforceable promise. Yes.
It's not a promise. You have now borrowed money. The second you swipe that card, you have become a Baal Chol, the credit card company.
Not true.
It is absolutely.
No, it's right by writing a document that I owe the
bank. They have
money.
Spent money on your behalf by
only if it's
done. No, no. By putting it aside, you have now become a thief.
The cash only depends on the bank that says I promise to pay.
Nowadays the cash is not like that. We don't look at that. The cousin is
not. We say we're machmir in lying, and that's why. So why are we machmir for the gaon? So you can never.
But there's different ways to learn the book. Okay, so you can think about it to next week and argue amongst your families whether it's true or not true. But there is a thing to think about. How you pay may make a difference in whether you can produce the receipt or not. And I'm sure at the end of next week, you have half of you saying it's Austin, awesome, half of you saying it's
Austin. They wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to our next shayla. We're going to start it in this. Maybe finish. Came to Beis Din. The shayla. Reuven was an owner of lots of property. And he was nifta, unfortunately, very young. And when somebody dies young, people often don't plan for their after-death scenarios. Life always continues. After death, they don't plan for it. So therefore, he never made a will. Now, what happens if you don't make a will according to secular law? Can our local in-state lawyer tell us what happens to the property when there is no will around?
He's not married?
He's married with children. Goes to his wife. Only half according to Israeli law. The other half gets split amongst the children. Yeah? What does halacha say that is? Happens.
The children, the sons, not the children.
If there's no will around, no halakhic will around, what's halakha say?
Son.
Wife gets nothing, daughters get nothing.
So the wife gets ksuba.
Before it gets extra.
Daughters get mazonos.
Sometimes.
Before it gets extra.
Gets two portions, and the other sons get the rest, and no daughters, no wife gets nothing. Without a will.
With a will?
With a will, depends how you write it. Now, so came it, no will, and it's going to split half between the children and half to the wife. Now the sons don't like that. So the sons want to forge a will in order to state that all the property goes to the sons.
Wow.
Are they halakhically allowed to do such a thing? No. To lie, to protect their money.
They're not protecting a loss. This is Reba. This is taking money out.
Taking money out?
From their mother.
First of all, is it taking money out or protecting their money from going out? We'll talk about technicalities afterwards.
There's nothing in Hilchas Yerusha that you could say is borrowed, that that's the way they split it, that they could say that and say that's the halacha and our woman's mother lie.
No, that halacha, that is. That's halacha.
It's never
definitely
that
not the wife and definitely it's, not the girls.
It's never that clear. Never.
Without the will, that's halacha.
It's never that clear.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
Beis Din. No, sons, no. There's no will. You're talking about where there is a will, just a secular will. Then there's a whole discussion.
Okay.
Fine, but if there's no will, that's, the halacha is like this. That it should go to the sons and nothing to do with anybody else. So now the sons want to write a forged will. Are they halachically allowed to do such a thing? Firstly, are they protecting money or are they taking money?
Where's the money?
The money is in
the mother's bank account?
No, there's property in America, there's property in Israel, there's a Swiss bank account with all the hidden money over there.
What will was it?
Was it
a will or the will?
No will!
No will.
Secular law says what half, half.
Oh,
right.
If the
law
says X happens, right? Yep. So why do you have the right to write a will against the
that there's ways of writing wills that it's confined with halacha. That's the whole expertise. That's where Beis Din make their money.
The courts gave it to the mother. The secular law gives it to the mother and then take the money out of the mother. So they can't. Away from the mother.
What does halacha say?
No,
it's totally wrong.
Like that.
Absolutely. Yerusha is a process or automatic? Is it automatic or is it a process?
Automatic.
Halacha is, and it's probably not even a Gemara that disagrees with it, it's automatic. Death means now property has been transferred automatically without any wills to the sons. Automatic.
On the second
of death, that's it. That's what happens. Now that property no longer belongs to an estate. There's no such thing as estate in halacha. It's automatic. It belongs to the sons. So if it automatically belongs to the sons, so therefore they say, what? The girls and the wife are going to go to court in order to take money away from me. I want to protect that money from being taken away from me by writing a forged will.
Well, is secular law also automatic?
No. Secular law is estate and you have to dish it out.
Probate.
It's a whole process. It's not automatic. So therefore, over here, they're protecting themselves from losing money.
Is there a difference in writing a four star and saying shaker?
Ah. Now, according to the klalim which we discussed up to now, Beis Din is always osa. Outer Beis Din is mutter if you're protecting your money. We say it's protecting your money. Is it inside Beis Din or outside Beis Din?
It's
outside Beis Din. So according to the rules, it should be mutter. Now you want to say, maybe writing is worse. So let's see. Number 5. The Gemara in Belbasta says like this. Shmona psukim shabatora Yeshua kosvan. There's 8 psukim of the Torah which Yeshua wrote and Moshe Rabbeinu did not write. The time, because it says at the end, Vayomos shom Moshe evet Hashem. And Moshe died there. He was the Eved Hashem. So how can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it? It must be he was already in Nifta. And Yeshua wrote it. Esther Moshe Chai, because of the Yosef Shom Moshe. How can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is alive and he's writing that he's dead? And Atkan because of Moshe Mekamein, because of Yeshua. It must be that Yeshua did it. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. I think Yeshua. V'omalei Rab Nechemya, V'omalei Rab Shimon, and they say no. Esha Shosha Torah Chosha Os Achas, how could it be that there's a Sefer Torah which doesn't have Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all letters written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Sim Lokech has a Sefer Torah Hazos. It says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu took the whole Sefer Torah. Ela Atkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, V'Moshe Omer V'Kosef. Up to now, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him what to write, and Moshe said what he was going to write, and then he actually wrote it. Mekav Eilech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, from the last eight Sukkim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him what to write. Moshe Kotsev, Moshe did not say, but he wrote the Dover.
So writing's less of a problem than speaking.
So from here the Mashah says, what's the Vishat? Vishat is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu can't write that he died if he hasn't yet died. That's Sheker. So it must be Yeshua wrote it. Comes along with the other Pirushim and say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu did write it. Aye, Sheker. It's only Sheker to say. To speak is Sheker. But to write without speaking is not Sheker.
That's not the Shu, right?
And it's not a Shtar.
That's not the Shu.
I mean, it's a
different Shu. Shu is different.
Moshe, that's the Mashal. The Mashal says that's Pshat in the Gemara. So we see from here that the opposite is true. That writing is less of a problem of Sheker.
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a lie. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a lie, so they're saying he wrote a lie and that was alright? That's not what Shiva is it? They said because he wrote a lie and didn't say it, it's okay?
That's what the Mashal says.
But that's not the Shiva.
It's not Sheker.
I want to claim that because
Eric is saying a very good point. That this is not a proof at all to anything we said. It's not a lie. Why is it not a lie?
It's the book.
It just looks like a lie, but it's not actually a lie. Because it's going to happen, and for sure going to happen, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said it's going to happen. So therefore to write it is not actually a lie, because it's going to happen. But it looks like a lie, is what the Chazal say, Merci Keshetra. It looks like a lie, and that the Gemara is saying, to look like a lie is okay if you're writing, not if you're speaking. But you're not even allowed to speak if it looks like a lie. But to say a lie, you're not allowed to say or write a lie. There's no difference. To say or write a lie, there's no difference. But to look like a lie, then there's a difference in speaking or writing. So we've got no proof from here that writing, you can say a lie. So therefore, based on what we said, it should be that it's a lie. And, but it's outside basin, but you're protecting your money, so it should be okay, but it's still not lachachila because of the Vilna Gaon. Yes, that's what we should say to Sat Halachas. And that will finish off with a Ben Ishchai. A Ben Ishchai was asked this question. It says, can they forge? And he says like this, and this is the last Maram Mokum. A Torah Lishma, yeah. Shemutza Lashanas Mipnei HaSholem. All this is included in the Heta to lie in order to make Sholem. Sorech Lishikel Beplas Mishpatan Inim Ve'en Las is Heta Zeh B'chol Gavna. You can't rely on this Heta totally. Yes, Hashem Apneyam Tzichel HaKol Yeron HaToves HaNodesh HaYox Mizeh Chilel Hashem Chas V'Sholem. If it's possible the goyim will find out that you've lied, vaday sorg shiachtem asos tovazel, you're not allowed to do this. Says the Ben Ishchai, it's mutzah and lachachila to do, because this is nichlal in the din of Sholem, because you're protecting halacha in Torah. The halacha in Torah says the Yerusha goes to the children, and it's included therefore in the het of making Sholem, of doing the halacha of making Sholem bin Odom Lamokim. To protect the halacha in the Torah is making Sholem bin Odom Lamokim, and therefore to make a lie in order to keep a halacha in the Torah is permitted under this klal, even according to the Vilna Gaon. But, he says that if there's a chance, the Bechila Hashem, it's Osalasus. So practically, there's always a chance of Bechila Hashem in such Ofanim, and therefore no Rav will say, if you come with the Shaila, that I can permit it. But if a person does this, then it
separate rule for business. Well,
there are no opinions like
everywhere.
Okay.
Reason, that was the rule for
life. Next week we talk further.
Today we said today we came out, we said you need a mock mirror, and therefore even though the Rosh holds you could line based, we have a mock mirror that you can't line based.
Shalom is also not allowed.
So if we can put down on paper, it's more likely to get caught. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. It's always practically that nowadays to lie is always going to be a philosophy.
Why does the Rashi bring down a pot of rock instead of being burnt like a chicken?
That's a good question. So one is, some of them say that that the Issa of Shekel according to the Rashba is only in Beis Din, but outside Beis Din there's also an Indian of another thing called Eliasa Kazov, Lodi Dabba Kazov.
Oh, Bidvar Shekel Tichuk doesn't apply outside Beis Din
according to the Rashba? Yeah, someone to say that's what's
interesting.
Isn't there any taking into account of where things are going to lead to?
Yes.
Because it doesn't seem to be.
That's why we're very machmir on this. We say we're not allowed to do it in Beis Din halacha. Outside Beis Din, you're not allowed to do it to take your money.
If this week,
if there's any chance of a Chilul Hashem, forget it.
There's always a chance of Chilul.
Yeah, so therefore, it's always 100%.
But not even that. It's the person's becoming a crook.
So let me put. Are you allowed to put up a sign in front of your gate that says "Beware, dangerous dog"? You got no dog there.
We're talking about one of your kids.
So you'll say yeah. And I'll say it's no different that than writing a forged rule. And you're going to say, society is different. I don't know if society is different.
I would say it's different. What's the difference between, let's take it easy, let's take the putting up the sign and taking your chicken back? This week you take your chicken back, next week you take your light bulb back, the week after, it's not bought exactly the same time, I'm certain the guarantee, and it's still 2 months to go, and next week you're something, and you're leaving to be a criminal.
That's why.
Whereas if you put up the sign to protect your property, it's got nothing to do with anything else. It's not going to lead you to anything. It's two different things.
Yes. So therefore the answer to the question is sure. When a Rav can only answer to this, a Rav can only answer.
Pardon?
A Rav can only answer.
Is this someone?
Rabbi. What's up? We weren't sure if cheer was canceled.
What?
We weren't sure if cheer was canceled because of Roshachar.
Oh, the people go there?
I don't know, maybe.
Big hot stuff. It's hot.
Hot topic.
It's hot, hot.
Sure, it'll be up on my title. Did you see Roshachar's article on the Good Women in Film?
Yeah. He sounded to be charade. Very Das Teredic, no?
Yeah. He always says that. A lot of times, Who were the rabbanim who were matter?
What do you got going over there?
No, it's Shaul Rove. What prompted that?
Oh, what prompted it?
Yeah.
You don't know the story?
No.
You're really out of it.
Yeah.
Tefillin, girls wearing tefillin and S.A.R.
Oh, really? In the school, girls are wearing tefillin?
Two girls, they were from conservative backgrounds, going to the tefillin.
That's cool.
And originally they said no, and then finally they said, listen,
Tully Hartstock.
He basically wrote
No. So it was under the radar. No one didn't know what was going on. There's another school in L.A., Shal Hevet, which is like a pretty liberal school also. And they have this great newspaper, supposedly. It's this like great high school newspaper. And they broke the story of what was going on in SAR, and they brought it up in Shal Hevet, and Shal Hevet was very, very left wing. They didn't want to go do it. Then that basically forced this principal to write why he decided what he decided, and basically how halachically really there's nothing wrong with it.
He's a rabbi.
And then basically, and he spoke to Rabbi Adler in New Jersey, and he quotes in one of his articles that Adler told him he did the right thing. And then this rabbi, this Tinek from SAR, was given mafia and Adler Shul. Then Rabbi Lookstein wrote over the whole thing, and he's allowing it in his school, in Ramaz.
What's this, Tefillin?
Tefillin, yeah.
Girls are right.
So that's what basically. And then this is after I had already written an article a couple of weeks before on partnership minyanim. You know what partnership minyanim are?
No.
The main place that does it happens to be
this. It was from here, from Solomon, was able to ramp to honor all.
Together with the men in the shul, things they're allowed to do what they do. But it's basically under the, they're calling themselves in the framework of one.